Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Some boos from the fans. A lot of fans have left.
They're getting booed, rightfully so.
Is anybody worried?
It's not like, hey, man, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
The problem with the Celtics is Brad Stevens.
Play well.
So much of this comes down to Gordon Hayward.
The chemistry's a little shaky.
The freaking starting five, guys.
It hasn't been fun for a long time, man.
Do you take the Boston Celtics?
Am I supposed to be Kyrie, too?
No, you're not. No, now you shut up.
You won't shut the F up.
Right now.
It's not fun.
Let's have some fun and play together. Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I find it amazing, guys, that there are a lot of people that still feel very, very confident that the Celtics are going to be okay. You know, and maybe it is, Lou. Maybe it's, you know, we panicked about the bullpen, and even though they won 108 games, and that all worked out, and we panicked about the team on the road, but a little difference, and you only have to play one game on the road. These are where you're going to have to play a lot of games on the road because they're best of seven series. But I find it interesting that the one negative person at the end of that game the other night was Tommy Heinsohn, who had just come back, you know, with his bout with sleep apnea, where apparently he couldn't get any shut-eye at night. And he was sitting there saying, you got to watch out. This thing basically could implode here in the next couple of days. They got to get this act together quickly, because this is where teams kind of blow. This is Tommy Heinsohn.
Give me a break.
Maybe lack of sleep has you know, made him a more rational guy when it comes to this team.
Absolutely ridiculous.
But, you know, Brad keeps talking about how, say, right after the game, it was emotional. So it was made up, or it was just he had like a moment of weakness in which he told you the truth.
Well, but it wasn't the first time.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it. So, you know, the whole thing of, like, you know, the day after, like, the Super Bowl is not a time to ask about retirement, right? You're emotional, you're dealing with some things, you haven't really thought it through, and you need some time to sort of. But Marcus Morris the other night, was that like one of those moments when what he said wasn't really true? He was just upset that they lost? Or was that a moment of truth? I think that was truth.
I think it was truth. And it wasn't the first time that we've heard this out of, you know, Kyrie did it earlier.
I don't put that under, like, I don't put much stock in it because it came after a loss. No. That was real. And, you know, I know that they lost two games in a row. You previously run a nice run here as a team. And when things are like that going on, like he said, even when we were winning, I mean, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, well, Moore said that. He said this has been going on for some time.
It hasn't been fun for a long time, man. This is, you know, it hasn't been fun for a long time. No matter, you know, winning or not, you know, the attitude is, you know, it is what it is.
Can I explain?
So it's been going on for a long time. They've just been, and that's how good they are. So they're able to still win games, go on these long 10-win runs, and yet still deal with the fact that nobody really likes each other.
Somebody pointed out to me that Lane Johnson was saying the same thing in Philadelphia. Here's the difference. There wasn't a single Patriot player this past year when we were questioning how good they were.
Lane Johnson can't lay off the juice.
Who came out and said, we're in trouble. We're, you know, this has been going on for a long time. We're not having fun. They were saying just the opposite, were they not? Or at least giving us, presenting that kind of image that you guys can bitch all you want about us out there. We're good back here.
The other thing is that when you see the team, so as far as just talent, you start looking at the teams that are leading the pack, right? Toronto, Milwaukee, Philly. And he sits there and say, it seems like they all are having fun, right? And are we focusing too much on the word fun, though? I mean, what does fun mean to you if you're playing?
Winning.
Like, winning's part of it.
Winning.
So I've never seen a team that wins and where the guys on the team are miserable.
Very, very, very funny.
I've never seen that.
Well, you might see one right here.
Well, I mean, I guess if they're winning, but, okay, they're what are they, third right now?
No, I'm just saying they won.
What are they? They're fifth.
The team just won. They just won 10 of 11.
Okay, so,
and he said it hasn't been fun for a while.
Which is a bigger issue.
Well, and I think a couple of follow-ups, whether it's Sherrod or not, was like, well, you know, you just won, you know, 10 of 11, even during that stretch. And he's just like, in a while. It's been a long time. So he's basically saying, yeah, even when we won 10 of 11, it just we were winning because we were talented, but it wasn't like we were having fun. And I just think some of the stuff he said is like even worse. Like to just not care. To just listen, it's not that I'm not like rooting for you. I'm sorry, but I don't care. Like I don't care if you do bad. I don't care if you do good. I really just care what I'm doing.
That's even worse. Yeah, I agree.
Well, what's even worse is like
I'm
when
mad
Mark,
at you.
When
they like
Marcus. Yeah, they probably like each other personally, but
well, that's what I mean.
But I don't like what we're doing on the court. Yeah. But I keep on hearing that they're going to just flip this switch, and when we get to the postseason, the switch is going to be flipped. That doesn't happen in the NBA. It doesn't.
It depends who you are.
It depends on what type of team you are.
If you're LeBron.
LeBron can.
But they don't have LeBron.
Yeah. No.
So it's really only one team. Only one person.
One person.
Right. One person.
Who else has done it?
I think Golden State could. Yeah. If Golden State had a really bad last month
but
and
Golden
a half.
Golden State's going to be the number one
well,
seed.
Well, I'm just saying, if they just fell apart, yeah. right?
Yes,
the last
maybe they
month
could.
And a half,
maybe
I would sit
could.
There and say they're still going
right.
to win the title.
Right. But if you look at it right now, you're going to find out everything you need to know in the next 2 weeks about the Boston Celtics. They play Philadelphia tomorrow night in Philly. Then they will get Milwaukee and Milwaukee. They will get Toronto and Toronto. And right now, if you look at where they are, they're 7 games behind Milwaukee in the loss column. We only have 26 remaining, right? They're 5 games right now behind Toronto as the number 2 seed. Now, the Pacers, I don't know how the Pacers are still doing it. They're hanging in there without Oladipo. I don't know how they're doing it.
The Pacers are doing it the way the Celtics have done it in the past.
With the kids overachieving.
It's not a great league.
Right.
They give you max effort.
Yep.
And they beat the teams that they should beat.
Right.
And because of that, they might actually hold,
right,
stay above you in the standings.
And so the question right now is you've got Philadelphia ahead of you at number 4. Think about that. Right now, if the playoffs were to start today, you would play the first round on the road against Philadelphia. And then it gets more difficult in the second and third round. So can they top Philadelphia? Can they move to a 4 seed or a 3 seed with Indiana drops? You'll find out in the next 2 weeks, because if that's the case, with 26 games remaining, they're going to have to go on a big run here. And that means winning against real good opponents out on the road. Here's Phil in Maine, next up here on OMF.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, Phil?
Hey, so I got, a quick question is going to lead into my point. With Kyrie's knee, I know he sprained it, he's not playing against the 76ers. They said he's day-to-day. Have they given any more information about possibly what he might be looking at or what he did?
Sprained knee. I mean, I think he's going to play the next game. I've been shocked if he came back and played Philly.
Right. No. But, I mean, down the road, if this takes weeks to get over, if it's a sprained knee, would that... I guess last year he obviously was out in the playoffs. And if this takes a long time, would you say that quantifies Kyrie as injury prone? And the reason why I ask this, if you got these younger guys that are sitting here saying, hey, look what we did last year. We didn't have Kyrie, and now we've got Kyrie. He's the chosen leader. He is the chosen leader of this team, whether they like it or not, whether he's injured, doesn't play one night or another, or however long. But I don't think these guys want to accept their role. These younger guys, I think, are at odds with some of these veteran players.
Bingo.
And they don't want to accept the role.
Bingo. I mean,
we agree with you.
Some of these veteran players, there's really not a lot of them.
What veteran players are we talking about?
I mean, there's really only one or two, maybe. Morris.
You don't think Al accepts his role?
I think he accepts his role.
I think he does. This is easy.
You think Morris accepts his role?
Yes.
So who
he's a
talking
free agent.
Which one of the older Celtics don't accept their role? Because I think the young kids have trouble accepting their role. I would agree with that.
Unfortunately,
Phil.
I think Gordon Hayward has accepted his role.
Yeah, that to me is also an issue. Yeah, I'm okay. Like to me, it's just him. Here's the thing with him. It's just this year's a wash. This is just throw this one out. Hopefully, you get some playoff experience. But he's not going to be himself till a couple things happen. Some of the younger guys are gone, so he's not battling those guys and the perception and the expectations that they have and the goals they have for themselves. And then he's just planted in there with a whole year under his belt after his injury.
John's in the Cape. Next up here in EEI. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, this all goes back to, unfortunately, I apologize, and it really irritates me to agree with Mark with a C. We all know what the C stands for, but that's another story. But anyways,
all right, go a couple ways there.
Well, the whole thing is that the game that that Kyrie got upset with because Brad Stevens drew up a play and Kyrie was not happy with it and it ended up going to Hayward and he ended up missing the shot. Brad Stevens is not putting these guys in a position to win, and I think it starts with him. Kyrie's going to be Kyrie, and Hayward's never going to be the same for this year. The injury was too horrific, and he's not going to be right until at least next year. But Brad Stevens has got to understand that and figure out that, you know, he's taking the starters out, putting the starters in. I mean, they're putting the bench in. The bench is doing good, and then he's pulling the starters back out, and they're losing. I mean, I'm sorry, but the last two losses against the L.A. teams were on Brad Stevens. That's coaching. And I think that he doesn't have a grasp on how to deal with all these individual players and bring them together as a team. And I think that Danny Ainge has to start thinking about, okay, well, what can I do? Because Kyrie's not going anywhere. And Danny Ainge has all the talent in the world to get Anthony Davis here. And if Anthony Davis gets here, well, then things change a little bit. But I think, I'm telling you right now, Brad Stevens has got to wake up, and he's had a pass for a long time.
Yeah, I would agree. But, you know, the pass, I think, was deserved. I don't know how you can bitch about Brad Stevens the last few years. I have no idea how you could possibly bitch about Brad Stevens. This year's a challenge for him. And I don't think he's handled the situation. Like, you know, you hear about players griping, and, you know, we've had enough of it over the media. Like, can you handle your own locker room? Can you deal with what everyone else now is seeing because your players are telling us? Why haven't you been able to handle it yet? Yeah, I know it's like patience, and we've got a lot of talent, and I got to walk that fine line. But at some point, you got to just turn to whoever it is within a given game, because I think all of them at times are to blame. If you don't like what you're seeing, limit minutes. Just pull the game from these guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got to send a message to these guys that
might be a different guy every night. It might be this guy that bitched last night, Marcus Morris.
Right.
Hey, listen, I know you understand you're bitching and everything, but last night defensively or the other day, you sucked too. I'll pull your ass out of this game. All of them at some point.
So it's that one's so weird because, like, he's the one chirping. He was part of the problem last Saturday night. It's like that was – so you're chirping. You're pissed off.
Well, he's letting, like, his feelings or his teammates affect his own game. And shame on him for that, if that's how he feels, right? Because defensively he's been atrocious.
Well, the three worst guys in any particular order, you pick them, Hayward, Horford, which is weird when I heard that, and Morris, any combination of those guys involved in it has been bad.
In any particular order. I like it. Ryan's in Rhode Island. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Woj put out an article, I think it was just a couple days before the Super Bowl, and he ended it by saying Anthony Davis doesn't care about the money where he can sign a max contract, what, 5 for $239, I think the number was.
Okay.
And he doesn't care about the money. He wants to build his legacy, but he's not going to build a legacy joining LeBron.
Why not?
Because the legacy...
LeBron has his own legacy. Goes to Boston. Boston-LA rivalry's back. Him and Kyrie can be the new age Shaq and Kobe and win more ships against LA. I think it would just... It makes more sense, logically, just thinking about it in like an objective perspective. That's how I see it.
So why do you think he tried to get to L.A.? Because he obviously the maneuvering, the statements he made, the old man making a statement about the lack of loyalty with Boston. Why do you think he went to all of that if he didn't want to go to L.A.?
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, who doesn't want to play with LeBron? But that's taking the
a lot of people.
Right,
a lot of people.
Kyrie didn't.
A lot of people. Yeah, he got the hell out of there.
Kyrie got out of there. I think the money is valuable to him. I think the point that Wojnarowski was making was that super max deal by staying with New Orleans. Then he has the opportunity to get that super max deal. All right, 617-779-7937. Our phone number right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know,
right now, I think that it would be nice if we had someone that was a 15-year vet, 14-year vet that could, you know, just kind of help us race along the regular season, understand that it's a long marathon rather than just a full-on sprint.
Obviously, some selfish play going out there where we have very talented guys, but we're better as a team when we're moving the basketball.
We win our last couple games, so we want to keep it going, and everybody can shut up.
Playing against Milwaukee, we were not at rock bottom, but we needed to address some shit in this locker room.
Stuff that everybody can see, stuff that everybody knows. We got to be more accountable as a group. It's not one guy's fault. It's not young guys, old guys' fault. It's everybody. So we all got to be accountable.
JB was right. I gotta do the right things and really not point fingers at individuals.
Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown having words.
They have to be open with each other and be able to discuss stuff that's going on the court and, you know, and if it leads to a little bumping and pushing and shoving, what is it? It's nothing.
I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips. Wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that.
In terms of making my decisions and trying to validate the media through other personnel, managers, anybody in this business, and I don't owe anybody.
So the latest was Marcus Morris, but as you just heard through the timeline, this has been going on for 2 months now, and it's no different. It's the same issue they had 2 months ago, and they have not been able to fix it. And I don't know how anybody thinks you're going to be able to fix this in the next 26 games. It's annoying.
God, it's so annoying. Like, annoying. What, don't they have like a, you know,
a silencer? No.
No, silencer. Yeah, shoot the guy or shoot the ball.
Well, you put a little extra, you know, cushion.
That's
around
the funny them. Guys, so, keep it down. I'm trying to rip you. Yeah. To the media. You keep it a dull roar.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It should never be a surprise to anyone when you start having team meetings that early in the season.
How long ago was that team meeting? Did we
it's
know the
kiss
that
of
first
death
one? It was
always
after the Milwaukee game, was it?
Yeah, no, it was right before Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. How many times do you have a team meeting and it actually works out? Right, everybody says, you know what? You're right, man. You know what? You're right. My bad. I was reading it wrong. I'm too emotional. I'll take a back seat.
Don't you have an idea now why it hasn't been working? Because they just don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care enough. You know, we got to stop, you know, talking to media about each other. Yeah, okay. Whatever. But we got to start winning ball games. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah, whatever. We'll win. We'll win because we're talented. But if you have a great game, I'm not going to be happy for you.
Yeah,
like,
nobody
I just
gets
don't care about you. I'm
what happened to the team that
you
was like dousing like Gordon Hayward with Gatorade when he had a big game?
Everybody can shut up.
Where's that guy? To me, okay, that's the team.
Who doused him anyway?
That is, yeah, now we have to go back and look and see who doused him. Aaron Baines.
Probably.
No, because it wasn't Rozier. I bet you it wasn't Tatum. And because Smart's good. He's
was
got 52
Jaylen?
Million.
Oh, when they doused him, he looked at me and said, yeah, finally.
Exactly.
Was he
dousing him out of contempt and like trying to get it in his eyes?
Yeah.
So it was a jerk. Gershon. It looks like Gershon, Shemmy, Al, Brad Wanamaker, and Marcus Morris.
Okay, so
there you go.
Nobody else gets. So
no,
the young guys didn't give a crap to me. So we're thinking, oh, look at these guys. They're all happy for Gordon. He's back.
Bench.
Yeah,
like the bench who doesn't play.
Way bench.
And, of course, Avgel.
Because he's the glue.
Yeah.
Right? And Marcus Morris, he's a free agent. He's trying to get his, right? So he doesn't care. He's not going to be there anyways. And if anyone has, and if you want to try and figure out why he's pissed, because he needs to get to the postseason. He needs to make an impact in the postseason to get his value up there, right? So he can be seen as like an impact player when it counts. So his value goes up.
So they all have an opportunity tomorrow night. There's no Kyrie Irving. So if these young players really believe that they don't need Kyrie Irving, you go into Philadelphia tomorrow night and you blow the doors off the 76ers, right?
Yeah, like you did in the second half against the Clippers when
that's
Kyrie
exactly
Irving
what that's right.
That,
like.
That didn't work
well,
out.
How do you
so
feel
well
about that game tomorrow night?
I'm not feeling real good about it.
No, me neither.
I liked what I saw with Philly yesterday.
I saw him Friday night. They looked real good against Denver.
Yeah, because the Lakers played. And it was both home games. The Lakers played them hard the way they played the Celtics. But unlike what happened with the Celtics where they wilted in the fourth quarter, Philly took it to the next level. They just took it to the next level.
I mean,
defensively.
Chemistry, you had that concern early with Tobias Harris.
He was terrific in that game yesterday.
He opens up the floor like this team hasn't really seen in a while.
For
J.J. Redick actually gets looks.
Yep.
I mean, outside shooter, finally. No, that's a very good team right now.
Just seen him in one game with Philly, so it's too early, but I would agree with you that he opened up the floor. Now, he was hitting those threes, but he is. He's shooting, what, 43%, yeah, something like that, from three-point territory this year, so it does open up an awful lot. But getting back to Brad Stevens, he keeps on telling you in these post-game press conferences, I like the fact that he's frank and he's honest. He's sitting there going, no, we're not doing this. No, we're not doing this. No, we're not helping each other out. No, we give up defensively. No, lack of effort.
You're right. You're right. Okay. Yes. Yeah,
and we're all sitting there, and everybody nods their head and said, that's right, Brad. That's right, Brad. But how is he not solving any of this?
Hey, man, that was awesome.
If he has this stuff, is he also just sitting here looking at it saying, well, screw it. Danny's trading away all these kids anyway on July 1st. I'll just wait till July 1st when I have my new team. Where is he in all of this?
Where's who?
Brad Stevens.
Well, he's right in the middle of it. I mean, here's the thing. You can be a great, you can admit that your team is screwing up and they're not together, but if nobody's responsive, if you can send the message, hey, I'm hammering them. It's like Bill Belichick with that 09 team. I just can't get through to them. They can't see it. So you're wasting your breath. So what ends up happening is this is a lost year. It's a waste of a year. And then you end up and you go, okay, who are the problems? This guy's a problem. That guy's a problem. Get rid of him, right? Empower Gordon Hayward now. Now, he's not feeling less of a man because the younger guys are kind of have all this contempt for him.
Well, I tell you, it feels like Brad Stevens is right now just overmatched. And it's not about X's and O's. It's not about calling plays, calling out of timeouts. No. It's not about
starting lineups, all that stuff.
It's about dealing with egos.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where right now, it doesn't seem like he's getting to anybody. Because he can't figure this thing out. This is not on Danny. This is not on Kyrie. These are on the players. Fine. You want to blame him? Fine. Kyrie's not, he should get some of the blame. He's on this team. He's not a great leader. We know that. But just because he's not a great leader, what, you got to trade his ass? No, right. Brad Stevens has got to figure out how to get to these guys. I mean, and it just, obviously, it's not working.
So I know you like to look at best case scenario. Can we look at worst case scenario? Suppose Kyrie gets pissed off here in the next couple months.
Oh, no.
And he suddenly says, screw this. The Knicks get the number one draft pick, Zion Williamson. They have Kevin Durant. By the way, did you see with the Knicks this past week?
Yeah, that was,
they were doing a season ticket marketing campaign, and they had Kevin Durant in the picture.
Who was the other guy who was the Knick who was in the picture?
I forget.
Because it was Kevin Durant in his Golden State Warrior uniform.
Yes.
Almost like,
it was done by design.
It was covered. It was done by design. Don't read between the lines, or do read between the lines.
All right, so let's say that happens, that he goes to the Knicks. I heard Chris Mannix this morning talking about this, and I think that still is a possibility, especially if the Knicks get that number one pick and Durant decides he's going to New York. Maybe Kyrie suddenly doesn't like it here and goes. So you lose him. It takes you out of the Anthony Davis trade, right? And then you're going forward with this young team.
Oh, perfect. Celtics fans would be all excited. Some of them. Really do believe that Terry Rozier, Brown, and Tatum are the future to build and win a championship. And they will forever be looking for that great player to go with good ones.
What year will that be? 2025? What year are we talking about here?
The year that Jason Tatum decides to leave in free agency.
Interesting fodder for sports radio hacks like Lou Maloney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, that to me is the absolute worst case scenario because I think they're still in a really good position, even though you're right, Christian. Throw this season away. Wasted season. Because we all had high hopes. We thought this was going to be a terrific year. Maybe not win the championship. You're not as good as Golden State. But certainly with LeBron out of the conference right now, even with the conference getting better, you should be a number one or number two seed, and you're not. And you're not that good, and you're going to have to play road games. And I don't have real optimism for them in the postseason. But if you throw this season away, you still have terrific ownership. The coach still great at X's and O's. The general manager's been phenomenal. So, but you're left with that roster.
Trash is another man's treasure.
Thank you, Bill. Yet I think Lou's right. I think a lot of these people would be very happy going forward with that.
Well, but
to me, that's the worst case scenario.
I've heard two different scenarios. So there's one side of there's one camp that says it's Kyrie's fault, get rid of him. And then there's the other side that says, I hope we didn't piss him off.
But you can't get rid of him.
No. Well, don't re-sign him. Whatever.
That's the worst case scenario.
So to me, I don't know. It's weird. I've never seen it. It's like there's a bunch of people who feel like he's the problem. And then the other side says, well, gosh, well, what do we do to make him happy? Because who do we get rid of to make him happy so he'll stay?
Where are all your all-star players? What are we talking about? So you're going to take one of the best players in the league. You're going to let him walk. You get nothing in return, and people are going to feel better about it.
Yes.
The trading deadline has ended.
No, they will.
You can't trade Kyrie now. He walks.
Yeah, we don't need Kyrie.
Or you sign him long-term.
Don't trade the kids for Anthony Davis.
Oh, my God.
Keep going with where you're going right now.
Yeah, see how long it takes you.
Sign back. Sign. Bring IT back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jake Crowder. And let's go with that team. Remember we had fun watching
Avery
that
Bradley.
Team. Avery Bradley.
Grab
yeah.
him also.
We had fun watching
remember
those
when we used
guys.
To have arguments and people would call up and say, Jake Crowder's a top player in this league. Okay. Harris Pseudo is in New Hampshire. Guy. Hello, Harris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I think Gordon Hayward's probably the major issue here. Physically, he's healthy, but I don't think mentally he's ready.
Yeah, I'm not so sure he is physically. Off. Maybe that mental hurdle is the last thing he needs to get over. I don't know.
I think if you watch him play on offense, he catches the ball standing up. He's really never ready to attack the rim. And on defense, he doesn't really have to jump a lot where he's in traffic, so that's why he's having a good season defensively. But on the other side,
he's not.
If he drives, on the other side, he's kind of scared to go to the basket.
So if yeah, but they're using the analytics, and I'm not sure I buy that because I saw those analytics and I'm not sure I buy him. I actually think he's been much better defensively than offensively. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much.
No,
I don't think so.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think he's been better
on defense. No. He's a lot better, but on offense. I think he's just scared to go to the rim because he thinks he's going to get hurt every time.
Yes.
So do you think if you're looking back as far as the way Stevens used Gordon Hayward, would you have said right from the start he should have had him come off the bench?
Yes, but yes. Limited minutes.
Yeah. Right off right from the start.
Right from the start. We said it from the very beginning.
Let him earn it. Let the other guys know that he earned it, because I think that was an issue, right? You have this guy that wasn't there the whole year, didn't really earn his spot. They had earned their spot, and yet it was taken away from them, and then this guy's not even playing.
Yeah, anybody. But I think this last caller had it right. I think the Celtics, from the opinion of their medical staff, were saying he'd be ready in January or February. It would take that long. So they said, well, we're going to keep him in that starting lineup because that's eventually what we want to build. You want to build the chemistry amongst the guys that are out there on the floor. The problem is he wasn't ready in January, and he's not ready in February. He's not back to the old player.
And the whole thing
physically he might be fine, but mentally he still doesn't play out there just on instinct.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know about the whole defensive thing, because we were just talking about this article, and he's one of the biggest liabilities out there.
I don't buy all the analytics.
Why?
Because I watch him play, and I think he's been pretty good defensively.
So the numbers are lying.
Analytics and defense in the NBA?
The numbers,
plus
when
minus,
he's on, when he's...
Throw him out the
okay,
window.
Okay, so that's funny, because last week you brought up he was a plus 19, and I said it didn't matter.
One game.
And you said, oh, it mattered. So make up your mind when it comes to analytics.
Well, there's something...
It's sad, too.
Yeah. It worked for my argument, didn't it?
No, but you got to pick...
Should I have taken your number?
What number was that?
I don't know. I took the number.
How about this one? Of the teams, this is...
I don't think he's been great defensively.
No.
Don't get me wrong.
So he says, of the team's 16 worst defensive ratings among two-man groups with at least 250 minutes played, 15 of them have Hayward, Horford, or Morris in them. So Hayward and Morris have been the Boston's worst defensive pairings amongst the regulars with a 111 defensive rating. Hayward and Horford have been the second worst. You getting a pattern here?
Al Horford is not that guy.
Gordon Hayward, I think 108 defensive rating.
But is it safe to say that Al Horford looks slower this year, and he looks like he is having physical ailments?
Yes.
And we know he has. Okay,
yes.
So he doesn't look physically like the same player.
Maybe
and that's
the same
issue.
Thing about Hayward.
Nobody's bringing that one up, and I'm surprised you haven't jumped all
well,
over
because
it.
Been
because
hurt.
He's not going to pile
okay.
on.
Okay. And nobody's sitting there telling me.
Right.
Finally, these people. Right. No one's sitting there telling me how great he is.
So that's a fact.
Because they all know. That right now, he's not the same guy. He is hurt. Defensively, he's nowhere near it. Although, one thing that really hurts him is no Aaron Baines.
Yeah.
This is why we go back to the deadline. What did Danny need to do? He didn't need to do anything. There's bigs out there that I think he can sign, the buyout season, because they need replacement. They'll need another big for Aaron Baines.
He looks like all of Australia.
Gortat would be perfect. I don't know if he wants to go to Golden State, but when he's not in there, Al Horford gets exposed.
Well, Baines' numbers are off the chart defensively, yes, if you're looking at those numbers. But how many minutes is he on the floor?
Needs to be on there more.
No, stop it, Charles, okay?
Yes.
They
got to play Aaron Baines more.
There's only so much you can keep him on the floor because he sometimes becomes a liability at the offensive end. They leave him alone, though he's been much better with three-point shooting this year. So maybe you're right.
It's like a young Ray Allen now, practically.
Yeah. Maybe they should. I just think that a lot of these defensive numbers right now that they come up with are a lot of hogwash.
No.
A lot of hogwash. You know, how do you
determine? They don't surprise me.
How do you determine?
I'm just saying, they don't surprise me. It's not like I'm in shock that Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, and Marcus Morris aren't good defensively. Morris may be a little
bit. I actually think Morris has been pretty good defensively as well.
Hogwash.
So I think Hayward has been much better defensively than he's been offensively.
Tells
okay?
you something.
I think Morris has been pretty good defensively at times. So I don't know. I don't buy the numbers. Not buying it.
Unless they benefit you.
Exactly.
Of course. In your position.
How about that plus 19 last week?
I want to take this pen and stab it in your neck.
Yeah. So we're plus 19, you wanted to stab me. By the way, that tape will save that forever.
What are you going to do with it?
Would you ever try to come at me ever again? I throw that right at
you.
You said
there's history here, Judge.
Watch you bleed out, and then just, I'm going to bring you back to life. And then I'm going to stab you on the other side of your neck. And then make you bleed out. When you Aaron Hernandez I've got tape, baby.
I won't leave a trace.
You dumbass.
That doesn't count. That's
you
just, hey, Judge, it was for radio. They told me
wasn't radio.
To be overdramatic.
Yeah, it wasn't. Back to your phone calls next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We're back with more Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
To you, or even just collectively as a team, is the idea of having fun, enjoying the moment, is that something that's subjective or as cut and dry as wins and losses?
No. I don't think it's as cut as dry. I think that if you do the right things, you play the right way, you can be okay with the result. And right now we just need to just be more consistent in that regard.
What is he saying? It's an average interview, too, would you say?
Yeah. Everything he does.
Says nothing.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, people want to know what's going on internally with the team. Marcus Morris, you know, going off after the game the other day. You blow a 28-point lead, lose by 11 against a team that they just threw five new guys into the lineup. What are we talking about here? Something's happening. We're just talking about Gordon Hayward and, you know, people making a big deal. Right? I understand why. This is the coach's son. This is the coach's pet. And because he played for him at Butler and obviously wanted him here with the team, told Danny this is the guy that can help us out. And then nobody could predict that he'd go down in game one with a severe injury like that. But I wonder how the other players feel during all of this when they're trying to work Gordon Hayward back into the lineup. And I do not believe that the coach is doing it because it's his pet. He's doing it because the organization is sitting there saying, we've got Gordon Hayward on the line for $100 million over the next 3 years. Okay? So we need to make sure that we get him back to where he is a vital piece of what we're doing. But if you're a young player, are you sitting there going, what the hell is he playing again? 32 minutes tonight?
Yeah.
Well, what I mean, they
because did. Is it the coach? Did he?
Well, I agree with you. I'm sure there's some built up animosity, whether it's real or not, just by some of the younger players. Like, he hasn't earned anything. But here's the thing. Like, he started him, and then he, like, took his spot away. Put him on the bench.
Well, he had to.
So he's coming off. I know, but he's coming off the bench. So, I mean, he's not. What is he like? Does Jaylen Brown think that he's the eighth best player on the team? Ninth best player on the team? Like, he should play, right?
Gordon Hayward? Now, he absolutely is. But I would say eighth, ninth most important.
But he's still on a restricted minutes game, so he's not even playing that.
But you guys tell me, you guys know, players know that other players don't deserve to be getting certain time, and that becomes chatter behind closed doors. You know that happens. And so if we've got this going, man, I got to get my 26 points tonight, and you know, as Hayward is taking it away, the coach keeps on playing him. You don't think that's a factor?
No, I think it's a huge factor, yeah. Especially in the beginning.
I think it is too, but I just expected more from Hayward. Maybe physically he just can't do it. But, you know, a little bit more of the swagger. Just sort of like, yeah, you know why I'm getting more minutes? Because I'm better than you. You know what I mean? You know why I got my contract? Because I'm better than you. I've accomplished more than you. And actually go out there and show it. But it looks like he's just passive. He looks like he goes out there. And I think one of the reasons why he has good games, you know, one good game hides for five, because it just seems like if he comes out and he feels good about himself, then, yeah, he'd go out there and have a good game. But he doesn't often enough. He might miss a shot and be like, oh, you know, my bad. Tonight's not my night. Okay, sorry, everybody. You guys do your thing. I'll just sort of be over here in the corner. You know, I wish that he had a little bit more toughness to him and just felt like, okay, it's time for me to go out here and just show these young kids who are bitching about me playing time that I'm a better player than they are.
Why haven't you invoked David Price to him? Apparently he plays Fortnite till like 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he's also, it's funny, even this morning he's got this commercial right now for some keyboard gaming, something like that. I see him all the time. I'm like, I see his face, you know, on these commercials more than I see him during the game.
Yeah.
At least as far as impactful moments.
Is that going to start pissing people off? Because he like plays nonstop.
Yeah, what are you going to do when you're at home? I don't know.
Yeah, Fortnite. You know, play with the kids, hang around.
Well, he doesn't have like a carpal tunnel syndrome problem, right? So it's not like, you know, it doesn't affect his get an ankle.
Seen his shooting lately. You know? I don't know. There's an issue there somewhere, isn't there? Here's John in Brookline. Hey, John.
Right.
Hi, John.
How are you guys?
Good.
What's up?
I'm good.
I just wanted to make a point about how I don't feel like the team is I'll agree that Kyrie is our LeBron in our team. And you know, when they're losing by two with 5 seconds left or 6 seconds left, and Hayward is not even looking for Kyrie, passes the ball. You know, I mean, to me, the coach should have drawn a play that goes to the superstar.
Okay, that was that one night, though. That was that one night.
That sets the tone for how the attitude towards Kyrie is in that team. It's like, the guy is our superstar, and they're not even looking for him. And I feel like he's not getting the respect from the coach of, you know, having that emphasis put throughout the whole team.
All right. I'm not sure that one game you're focusing on. I'm not sure that he's not getting respect from the coach. I don't know what the relationship is, but certainly we haven't heard anything where there's a problem. Here's Fitzy in Dartmouth. Fitzy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Fitzy?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, man. You're just fine.
Okay, here's what we need. Obviously, Danny Ainge still has a great relationship with Kevin Garnett, and he's going to throw him some perks. I don't know, a night at Davio's, a night at Foxwoods, whatever. Bring him in to talk to this team.
He brought him in.
Young Guns.
They brought him in. He wore a Rondo shirt.
He was just here last week.
They brought him in for the Lakers. They got smoked and dropped 2 20-point leads.
And he wore a Rondo shirt.
As Rondo made the last second shot to win it.
I got y'all.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Well, then he's going to come back.
I'm good. I'm good. He just showed up. They blew 2 20-point leads. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready for that one. Dan's in Springfield. Hello, Dan.
Hey. I just gotta say, Big O, you're as full of crap as my toilet bowl on a Sunday after Golumpkies.
That's a funny joke. Though Mark James would say that was good.
Because Gordon Hayward sucks. He was never worth his contract in the first round.
Sure he was.
Never that
sure he was.
If he's been on the up and ups, well, so is Frank Kaminsky, so why doesn't he get a max
contract? He's not Frank. Come on. He's a much better player.
Well, come on. Stop it. He's the same thing.
Danny went down with a major injury in the first quarter of game
he
one.
But what was he before that?
He was a terrific player. Good.
Are you telling
it's
me
an all-star
he's a max contract? LeBron yes. James don't even get a max contract.
Yeah, he does.
No, he does.
Yes, he does.
Come on. He always took a pay cut to get to where he is.
Dan, let me ask you. How much times have you watched, did you watch Gordon Hayward in Utah 2 years ago?
Oh, I know about him. Just
no,
like
you don't.
I know about Tobias Harris and how he went from Detroit to L.A. and where he is now and why that was a great trade while the Celtics were wasting their time trying to get Anthony Davis.
Well, Tobias Harris didn't blow out his ankle and fracture his leg. I mean, you have no,
that has you, nothing to do with it.
Just admit, because you never watched Gordon Hayward play in Utah.
That's the problem.
Just admit it.
That's the problem.
Hayward getting these minutes then if he's ineffective.
All right, you got two different arguments going on right now. First off, he said he's not worth a max deal, and he was never that good, which shows you've never watched him in Utah. Now, fine, I'll agree with you. He's not playing well. He shouldn't deserve the minutes. So there's two different discussions going on.
But Lou, what you're saying was that he's that good. Now, why is he getting the minutes if it was because of the injury and he ain't that good no more? I'm going to tell you right now.
Dan, I think you're full of crap.
He's a rich man's Evan Turner.
Ooh. No, he's not. Yeah, he doesn't have the mid-range shot that Evan Turner has.
Doesn't play the way
Evan Turner had an unbelievable mid-range
jumper. Doesn't even play the way
jumper.
Evan Turner played. Oh, my God.
It doesn't do no good.
Hey, Dan, just shoot.
Jay Crowder was just as good of him as
oh, my God. And Dan, just so you'll
further admission that you've never seen Gordon Hayward play before he got
that's
here to Boston this year.
Hayward play. No idea.
No, you didn't.
Players play.
No, you haven't.
I'm 37 years old.
I don't believe you.
I grew up watching Michael Jordan.
Hey, Dan.
I don't believe you.
Hey, Dan, here's the maximum contract LeBron James has. $36 million, $37.5 million, $39.2 million, and $41 million in year four of that deal. That's what they call a maximum contract deal.
And we're talking about... We're talking about giving up guys for Anthony Davis, and we got this guy on this contract. You got Al Horford on a max contract too. No wonder Kyrie Irving sees the light, and he goes, "Boy, they're not going to have any money to spend in a few years because you got Jason Tatum, you got Jaylen Brown, you got Terry Rozier, you got Marcus Smart on a big contract."
I like this. He's running down the whole roster because I forgot the whole roster.
Yeah, but
Shemmy, don't forget Shemmy. You want to pay Shemmy big bucks.
2 year players. Don't ever forget what Chris Paul said. You're nothing in that league until you're on film, just like any other professional league. Try and do it again.
That's a State Farm commercial.
State Farm commercial.
There's a great quote by Mark Twain.
I think it was the State Farm commercial, wasn't it? Chris is in New Hampshire.
Tough act to follow.
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
Good luck. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I think Kyrie is a supremely talented player. I think the biggest downfall is he's not a leader.
Fine.
You take a Tom Brady is probably the extreme example. But if this year they needed to run the ball more, he made it happen. He morphed into it. He makes his teammates better. Kyrie's not doing that. This team wins when they distribute the ball. When they have high assist numbers, they win ball
they,
games.
They do.
Yeah, Kyrie has more assists this year than he's ever had in his career.
They do.
Than he ever has. But he's also, when he has a high field goal attempt, they also lose ball games.
Chris, so what do you want to do? I'll say this. Kyrie is not a great leader. Should you trade?
I want to be,
hey, Chris.
To be KI 11. I want him to be KI 11.
Okay, fine. I'll just talk over you. You want to keep going or no? What do you want to do? Kyrie's not a great leader. So does that mean you trade him?
I didn't say trade him. He's got. There's a lot of things you can do to get guys to be leaders. There's a lot of things that you can.
What do you do?
To help them.
Send them to like leader school in the summer. Leader camp.
I mean, I work in public.
They can do a commercial for it.
Leader camp. Let's go to leader.
Go to Mike Reese's camp.
Camp. Leader camp.
Chris, let me give you an example.
An Olympic sized pool.
Let me give you an example. Before Kevin,
lots of good friends.
Before Kevin Garnett showed up in Boston, do you think Paul Pierce is a great leader?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Before Garnett got here?
No, stop.
Come on.
Chris, stop it. Chris, do you remember what he did in Indiana? Do you remember what he did in Indiana after losing a game?
Come on. Yeah.
You don't remember walking off, taking a shirt off? Come on. Come on, Chris.
You became a much better leader once Kevin Garnett, a true leader, showed up, no?
I'm so sorry, and then made it public. I'm so sorry, LeBron, and then made it public.
Right, I agree. That was not a smart thing to do to make it public.
But would you agree?
I think it was smart to make the phone call. I know people don't think it was smart. I think it was smart to make the phone call.
I do too. But would you agree with the whole Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett thing?
Yes.
All right. So
changed everything.
Should they have traded Paul Pierce because he's demanding a trade? He didn't want to be here. He wasn't the greatest leader in the world.
Correct.
So Kyrie's not a great leader.
Correct.
Okay. Well, you went out and you got a guy like Kevin Durant, and all of a sudden Paul Pierce became the great leader. Right. Well, really, it was Kevin Durant. Well, I mean Kevin Garnett, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So all right, you got to add another. You got to add a leader.
In my view. We have 25 individuals.
Sorry, John.
You know what?
Thank you, John. Oh, I miss him.
But
I miss him.
Do you miss him?
I totally miss him.
In a weird way, I do.
There's a love affair going on over there.
In a strange way, I do.
We're well aware of that.
See, Cafardo had his list of managers this weekend, a list of the power rankings of managers.
Let me guess.
Alex number one.
No. What a surprise.
I said, Alex did a hell of a job.
No.
And Alex seems to be a damn good manager. And I think 3, 4, 5 years from now, you're going to talk about him as maybe number 1, 2, 3, somewhere in that area. But some of those other guys that were on that list, were supplanted by Alex. Come on.
Putting him on there. He just won a World Series. But
number one?
Yeah, once again, print it up, put it in his desk when you show up in Fort Myers.
See that, Alex?
Alex,
I like
you. See what I just wrote?
See what I wrote?
Not great.
No, number one was a stretch. Francona's done it for a longer period of time. I think Francona, wouldn't you say, a little higher than Cora on that list?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so.
Ready to go there. Great year last year, but yeah.
But overall manager, if we're going to rank managers, you have to have a resume that's a little bit deeper than 1 year. He did a great, phenomenal job. He could be the next great manager in Major League Baseball. But after 1 year, Cafardo's got him number one on the list.
I don't want to honor that.
Just a stretch. All right, we'll get into more of this stuff as the players are talking more about it. Did anybody watch this football game this weekend, this Alliance of America football?
Every game I put on was 3-0, 3-3, 6-3.
Well, you had to hang in there. They were late, but they scored. Yeah.
They scored late in a row. 3-3, 3-0.
Scored late. And I'll tell you one thing. They don't care about CTE in this league. They're sitting there going, this is old school football. We'll get into some of that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.